chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio up.
Yeah! Woo! Air horn! John Reap here. John to the air horn Reap. What's up?
Happy Friday, everybody. Don't eat Tide Pods. Listen to the Fried Pod. You're listening to another awesome, amazing episode of the Fried Pod. I'm your host, John Reap. You know that already, I hope. If you're new, welcome. Welcome to the Fried Pod. Returning listeners, good to see you again. Thanks for coming back. We're out there. This is episode 73, I think. I'm not sure. Just want to say thanks. I was in Fort Worth, Texas, doing a gig at Hyena's Comedy Club this past weekend. Had a blast. But all the shows were packed except for one late show Friday night. But I got a standing ovation one night. That was great. Had a good time. Fort Worth's always fun. Good people. Worked with the comedian David Smalley. We'll get to that in a second. But real quick, popsicle update. You want to know what's going on with my dad? Good news. He had a great day today. I actually saw him get up and, with the help of one person, walk down the hallway. So that was good. He's going to get that peg tube taken out pretty soon. That's how they give you a feeding tube through the stomach. And they're going to take that thing totally out because they have to do a surgery to get it in. So they're going to, you know, he's eating regular food through the mouth. So, but they still have that peg thing in there. So they're going to take that out pretty soon. But he's getting better slowly, baby steps. So thank you all for the positive words and encouragement and prayers and thoughts and all that good stuff. Positive energy into the universe, whatever it is you do. Thank you for that. I'm doing my TV show Hickory Live pretty soon. That's coming up February 21. Going to shoot that at Sims Barbecue. That's right. Actually, we're doing the 20th and 21st. We're doing like 2 days of it just to make sure we get everything right. But that's going to be at Sims Barbecue. You want to be a part of my TV show? I started a Kickstarter page. So if you want to be a part of it, you can donate and get your name in the credits or possibly get a shout out on the show. I mean, it depends on how much money you give and what level, what kind of reward you get. So there is a Kickstarter page. So if you're looking for that, if you go to my Facebook page, I put it right up there on the top. It's also on Instagram. Kickstarter, you look for Hickory Live, John Reap, you'll find it. And you can donate. And we're shooting that. It's going to be like a scaled-down tonight show. Basically, I'm the host. We're shooting it at a barn. I'm coming out to Cloggers. I got a bluegrass band. It's my house band. I got a guy named Tim Sherrill. Classic old-school redneck dude. He's going to be my announcer. I'm going to have him off to the side in a recliner eating barbecue. And he's going to be checking. He's doing the Facebook Live while we're doing the show. We're having Brad Paisley, Michael Waltrip. Who else? Lots of people Skyping in. We're going to have the mayor of Hickory on. We're going to talk about him and Hickory, and you're going to get to know everything. So it's going to be great. So I'm looking forward to doing that. That's going to be February 21st, Sims Barbecue. What else can I tell you? Rate this podcast, please. I don't know how you're listening to this. There's many ways that you could listen to it, but if there's a way that you could give us a thumbs up or a heart, that'd be nice. Get the word out there. Rate it. Rate us. Review us. Yeah, write something up. Rate, review, subscribe, and share. That's always fun to do. And my next gig, I'm not doing stand up until the March the 8th and 9th. I'll be and 10th. March 8, 9, 10, Atlanta, Georgia. Going to be at the Punchline Comedy Club. Till then, I'm right here in Hickory. I'm working on Hickory Live. I'm getting Dad better. And I'm taking care of Mama in the house. So there you go. Appreciate you. And in this episode, I sit down with another comedian. We did this in a green room in Fort Worth, Hyena's. Y'all check us out with David Smalley.
You are lit and live, and you get a silky smooth voice,
hey
my friend.
Hey there, welcome. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that silky smooth voice you hear is one David Smalley. Jesus Christ. We are, we're rolling. We're live. Well, I say rolling, well, there's no tape in here. We are recording.
I wonder how many of those terms are we still holding on to?
I know, right.
Recording's still a thing because you're making a record.
Right.
But it's not being put on a record.
No.
But it's going on record.
It's all ones and zeros.
It's all ones and zeros. Getting it on.
Getting it on. So we are in the green room right now at the Fort Worth Hyenas. We've got like an hour before the show time.
Yes, sir.
We're both sipping on some. You got me under this here.
I got you hooked, man.
Zero Ultra Monster Energy Drink.
Yep. And one of my producers that's no longer with me because he's in Fort Worth. And when I moved to L.A. From Fort Worth, he had to stay here.
Yeah.
He got me on these. But yeah, the white, yeah. They're zero sugar, zero calories, tons of energy.
Citrusy.
It's about the same caffeine as having two cups of coffee.
This would be better than the sugar-free Red Bull and vodka that I do.
Oh, hell yeah.
This has already got the citrus stuff in there.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan, buddy.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad you like it now.
And there's so many different flavors of these damn things now. I feel like, but bars only have the Red Bull.
Red Bull. Yep. Every time.
Have you ever had the cheap stuff that some bars have that comes out of the gun? It's some knockoff called like Lion or Red Lion or something. Oh, it's horrible. I don't understand. I guess there's a reason for it why bars don't have more diet stuff. All they got's Diet Coke. That's it. I don't think they got Diet Sprite most places. In terms of diet and that gun, it's just Diet Coke. Really?
Yeah, that's
or
it.
Diet Pepsi.
Maybe Diet Pepsi.
We need more variety. Anyway, David here, very funny guy, from this area.
Hell yeah.
I just heard you say out loud, and I already know this, you didn't start comedy here. You started in L.A.
Yeah.
And then, walk us through your career, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. Where do we start? Burleson?
No, I did. Here's the truth. I did comedy one time in Dallas.
Yeah.
13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And I went up for like 90 seconds, completely bombed, and went, I probably should have wrote some stuff down, and then just went home.
Yeah.
But then I toured, because I got into radio, and I would give speeches and talks on different things, and I would always write jokes into, so I've been working on my stage presence and stuff, so it's not really, it's weird. I wasn't doing clubs, I wasn't on the scene, I wasn't on the road.
Well, let's start with the radio then. How'd you get that going?
There was a thing called internet radio before podcasting existed.
Yes.
And you would have internet radio, and then you could just go back and listen to it later with a link.
Yeah.
And that's...
That was before they called it pod... It wasn't...
Yeah, it wasn't a name yet.
Well, oh, right.
2002, but 2003.
Really nothing's really changed. I mean, this is internet radio.
Right, it is. It is. But internet... Like, it was streaming live. Right. They could listen, they could call in, they could be interactive, and it was done from a radio station.
And you did that
streaming through the web in Dallas at a place called musicians.net.
Oh, okay.
Old school
what
radio
year was
station.
That?
What's that?
What year was that?
I think we started at the end of 2002.
Okay.
And went into 2003, and I had that show for 2 years. And it was called the Smalls and Ill Show.
Okay.
I was Smalls, and my partner was Ill, short for illustrious. And we brought in...
I never would have guessed that.
We brought in...
I thought he was going to be like he's dope.
He's dope and sick.
Yeah,
it was illustrious. And his name was Mario. Let's cut the shit. And so we would bring in comedians.
Yeah.
And hip-hop artists, like underground rappers, and we would play their music or play their bits on the show and then just roast the hell out of them.
Oh, fun.
And then at the end of the month, we would bring back everybody who was on the show and have a big showcase and let them perform for our audience.
Did they know that that's what they were getting
into?
Yeah,
oh, they knew.
Okay.
And, I mean, we would have them not even submit it beforehand. We'd be like, all right, kind of like an audition process where you're like, hey, here's my pitch, here's my album. And we would start right off the bat with, like, the cover.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just write some shit on a Sharpie, like, with a Sharpie?
Right.
This is horse shit. What is this? I mean, we roasted them the entire time. It was a blast.
And they knew that going in.
They knew going in.
So they weren't, like, caught off guard.
No.
Did anybody ever get, not take it well, couldn't take the joke, get mad?
No, not really. They would just laugh.
Yeah.
But, and you have to understand, too, also at that time, a lot of those guys that were doing that, they were in the rap battles.
Yeah.
So they were
right.
used to,
That's
it's a lot like
anyway.
like the Comedy Central roast battles. Like,
right.
You got to know going in that nothing is off limits. I mean,
wow.
you know.
So how did you get that idea? I mean, you were, what made you even want to do an internet radio show?
Oh, man. So
I mean, I was know from the very beginning.
I had a, this is where you're going to learn something about me that you don't know yet.
Okay.
And I hope it doesn't change your opinion about me, John.
Oh, no, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
So I had a blog called Dogma Debate, where I would post stuff about religion and go, I used to be really religious. I'm kind of getting out of it. Here's some problems I had with the Bible. What do you guys think? And Christians and Muslims and atheists would all come to my thing and they would have these discussions. And I kept seeing all the other places it would get really nasty.
Yeah.
And I wanted to create a place where people could have respectful dialogue about these sensitive ideas.
Right.
And so anytime somebody would get nasty, no matter what side they were on, instead of deleting the comment and blocking the person, I would reply and say, do you think that's the best way to get them to understand where you're coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And usually they would go, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted that way. And so this forum, this online place to have ideas, became like a safe place to be like, here's how I feel about gay marriage. And atheists would go, that's terrible that you're saying that. And they'd go, you know what, you believe that because it's how you're raised. Here's my viewpoint. And we would end up having a pretty good discussion about it.
So what year was that then? That's before their internet radio show.
This was 2000. Oh, man.
2000?
No. This was a little bit after that because I had done voiceover work before.
In Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, 97.9 The Beat. I used to be one of the voiceover.
Okay.
Yeah.
97.9 The Beat?
Yo, you listen to 97.9 The Beat, the hip-hop station.
You get a great voice, man.
Everybody thought it was a black dude.
Right. I could see that. I shut my eyes and that's what I saw.
You want to try? Want to try it again?
You do it and I'll try to copy you.
Okay. Yo, what's good? You're listening to 97.9 The Beat, the hip-hop station.
Okay.
Yo, what's good? You're listening to the 97.3 The Beat Station. Close enough.
That was not bad. I had to close my eyes, though.
Yeah. And so what I started doing is that there were so many comments that that website started getting like about 50 to 60,000 hits a night. And I mean, 8,000 comments, and I couldn't keep up anymore replying.
Yeah.
And so I started recording my responses to people and be like, Trigger Guy 41, you said this, here's my thoughts on that. And then Sarah, you said this, here's my response to that. And I would just put it out as a podcast. And so I called that podcast Dogma Debate.
Right.
To be like, here's the thing.
So Dogma Debate came out of the blog Dogma.
Yeah.
But before that was 97 something, The Beat.
Yeah, and I was also, there was a TV station out here called UATV, Urban America Television.
Right.
And I started off as their computer guy.
Oh, wow.
And then one day they were like, we need a voiceover for this thing. Mm-hmm. We need a placeholder for it. And I was like, I'll make the video for you guys since I know how to work the equipment.
Right.
And then I was like, but you have to do the voiceover first.
Yep.
In order to get the timing. So I was by myself. I knew how to work all the audio equipment. So I went into the booth. I recorded the voiceover. And it was just going to be a placeholder until we could hire a voiceover guy.
Right.
And I went into the booth and I went, you're watching KHPK Channel 28.
Oh, man.
Snipped it out. Went and put it in the video. And showed it to the vice president of operations. And he goes, perfect, air it. And I went, No. Oh, this is just a sample. That's not what, this is just a sample. And he goes, no, do it. Whoever that guy is, let's pay him. And I went, okay.
Oh, he's expensive, I've heard.
Yeah, he might charge up to $15 an hour. And that's what they paid me.
That's
$15 bucks an hour. And that's what I did. I was their IT guy. I did video editing. I did voice work.
So now did you go to school for that?
No, none of it.
How did you learn that stuff?
Man, I was broke and couldn't afford to have my computers fixed.
So you just...
I was fixing my mama's computer in 1998.
Just doing it yourself, like a tinkerer?
Yep.
Messing around?
Yep. And ended up making a whole career out of that. And then now, Dogma Debate is I invite people of varying religious beliefs into my studio, and we sit and talk about it in a really respectful, fun way. I enter a lot of humor into it.
Sure.
We keep it light, but we get a lot of stuff done. And now I'm with Podcast One. We record in Beverly Hills. I moved to L.A.
Boom.
It's my full-time job, man. I work 3 hours a week. I can't complain.
And thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, dude.
I got to go to your studio there in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I love what you do. I didn't know you as a stand-up.
Right.
I came in and do your radio thing, and then you asked me to come do the belly room at the at the comedy store in L.A., and I was like, oh, this guy's good.
Cool, man. That means a lot to me, man.
You're bringing family out here to the show. You said your mom's coming first.
My mom is coming for the first time. Well, dude, it means a lot to me that you say that. And I'm just going to put that on record
yes.
here. Dude, you're
funny guy.
You're a big deal to me, man. I'm a fan.
Well, thanks.
I was a fan of you before I realized I wanted to do comedy.
No,
I don't
kidding.
Know if you heard me say that last night.
Yeah,
to the,
I like the drunk guy.
To
oh,
the,
yeah,
the
yeah,
drunk
yeah.
guy that was like, David, you killed it. John, you'll be there someday. No, I was
I said, get him next time.
He was full of shit. He was just, I think he was messing around. There's no way.
That guy was coked up.
Dude, he was, yeah, he was out of his mind.
Him and his wife.
You were, dude, you're phenomenal. And I've always been a fan.
Thank you, brother.
Because I remember the first time I saw your first Comedy Central Presents. Was it 2009, maybe?
2000? Presents was probably 2004.
Oh, wow.
I think, the half hour.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Because I moved to L.A. in 2000. Dodge Commercials, 2002. And then right after was the Presents. So it was like 3 or 4, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the order of that. But
well, when I saw that, and the first time the hickory thing came out, when you were shaking your head doing the hickory thing,
right?
That I was, and then you is that the same one where you told the story, the swimming pool story?
Yes,
okay.
That's the only one that's recorded, you know, audio and video of me telling that pool story,
dude. So that I absolutely fell in love with that at that point, and I was like, his material, that's it. I was like, my new favorite comic. And I was big into stand-up comedy as a fan.
Yeah.
And then I remember hearing the name John Reap, and then probably a year later, I was like, I want to go see a comedian. I'm going to go see if anybody's in town. I was like, what's that guy's name that I like? And I was like, oh, yeah, John Reap. So I went to Google, and I was like, J-O-H-N-R-E-A-P.
Right. Yes, I
couldn't find you, and I was like, damn it. R-E-A-P-E?
Right.
R-E-E-P-E? I couldn't finally, I found you. I was like, that's a weird way to spell a name.
There's so many ways to...
Yeah.
I hate that, man. I should change my name.
Yeah. No, it's cool now. Because I think it's
hard to find. Yeah,
everyone, but it's the simplest way to spell it if you think about it.
Yeah, Reap. That sounds
R-E-E-P.
Creep without the C.
Yeah,
and then John is the that you don't need that H.
No, you don't.
It's unnecessary.
It simplifies it. So
well, I want to say this. I respect how you got into how your business, what you do now. I respect that because when I went to school at North Carolina State University, I was a mass communication, theater, public and interpersonal communication major. Okay. And I only chose that because I thought it'd be easy. I swear to God,
really?
I didn't have a love for theater. I thought, like, I barely got into this school. I got to pick something easy. I don't know what to do. What are the athletes doing? They're usually pretty stupid. Oh, theater, I'll do that. So that's why I did it. And then I got in there. I was like, oh, people think I'm good at this. This is cool. But I got an internship at a TV station, okay, like a PBS of North Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Running cameras, teleprompters, sound equipment, audio, all that stuff, right? And so I learned how to do that shit. And then when I was doing stand-up at night, I got to the point where I was like, I had a good 30, right? And I was featuring one weekend, and I had, you know, I had access to all this great equipment. I made my own half-hour special pretty much for $0, and with high-definition cameras, three of them. I made a three-camera shoot at a comedy club, and I had two levels of audio. I had one in the audience, one on me,
dude.
And I cranked it up. I had graphics put in. It looked like what was this on? You know, I just made the whole thing up, and I could make – we had racks of VHS tapes. We could, like, record 30 at one time. And so I just made copies on recycled VHS tapes, and I just sent it to every address I could get for it that had that was a comedy club.
Wow.
And slowly stuff came in. So I like you,
yeah.
I just sort of learned how to do the crap and did it myself.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool.
Dude, that is cool.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah. So to hear you say, you're a funny dude. It means a lot to me because
yeah.
I followed your career for a while and I think you're hilarious.
Thanks,
buddy. And I'm loving featuring for you right now. So
well, and we have another guy just walked. Did you bring your stuff? So now you got a full green room right here, folks. You got feature, MC, headliner, all chilling together.
As a happy family.
My man Parker right here.
You know, I feel bad every time I go up. I forget to say keep it going for Parker.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know why I'm so bad about that.
That's just I've gotten used to just that's just my go-to thing.
No,
do you have a mic too, Parker?
I do.
Okay, cool.
It really should be everybody's go-to, and I just don't. I keep telling Parker every time I come off stage, I go, man, I'm sorry, I should have said. He's like, it's fine, don't worry about it. I'm like,
nah.
No, it's not okay. I'm an asshole.
Last night was, you know, they always say Friday's second show's the hardest one.
God.
And
that ain't no shit.
That was a lot of fun last night. I mean, first show, look, we had a great Thursday show. It was packed.
Uh-huh.
Everyone loved it. Good times.
Yep.
Friday first show, packed.
You got a standing ovation.
Oh, that's right.
Friday first show. They made you feel really awkward.
It was weird because I hadn't had one in a minute. I hadn't had one in a while.
One guy in the very front in a red shirt stood up.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey. And I just went ahead and high-fived him. And then I turned back around, and then somebody else, before you know it, people just started popping up. And
maybe,
I was like,
maybe we should do that. Just pay one dude to stand up in the front.
Yeah, every time.
See if we can start a standing ovation.
Dude, I've seen comedians put the seed in the audience's head.
Yeah,
about like, it's crazy. The crowds have been great. You guys, I love your city. I've been getting standing O's every night. But it just says it. And then at the end, people go like, oh, I guess we should do that.
Yeah.
Because he said he's
so
doing
fake.
It. We did like it. Yeah. So I hate that.
I think you got the standing ovation because of your impeccable timing of your closing bit.
Oh, the pour some sugar on me.
Dude, it's
cruising
it's
bit.
Listen, people out there who just watch and are fans of yours, they watch it and go, that's funny. As comics, Parker and I are back there watching going, hold on a second. There's a timing situation going on here that is so professional. Because there's talking in between and then back to the mouthing of the lyrics and then talking and then back to the mouthing lyrics. And it's, you must have done that damn thing 200 times in order to have it down, but it's so tight. It's so professional. Yeah. And comics, Parker and I were back there going,
I had to figure out a closer. Here's the history on that. I used to be called the Hickory Dance Machine before I was anything. At Charlie Goodnight's Comedy Club, I would go on stage and I'd make fun of dancing by dancing. So I would walk, they'd play music. I'd get up there and I'd just start dancing around. It's stupid shit. Like, here's a shovel, here's a rake, and blah, 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 blah. And it just grew and grew. So I'd start dancing at the beginning and I'd do some comedy. I'd dance in the middle and I'd close with dancing. And I always liked having a nice big closer. And I thought, like, I'm getting old. I can't copyright this music. I can't, you know, I can't ever do this on TV. And I was like, I got to think of something different. So I started like, well, you know, cruising is one thing. I did want to talk about my brother's car and my car and small town life and that kind of stuff. And we did just ride around in circles, same from putt-putt to Burger King, back and forth and waving at girls. And I thought, well, let's just put that to music. And then, well, what's the best song back then? It's Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Whether you like it or not, you know that song, right?
Yeah.
And so I just did it over and over and over and whittled it down to what it is today. But
it took
a long time.
In its current form, how long have you done that?
Let's see here. Probably at least 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. That explains a lot, Parker.
Yeah.
That voice you hear in there is Parker. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, man?
What's up, buddy? Yeah. Sounds good. I hadn't even heard you yet. I want to make sure the mic.
Okay, nice. Yep. Is it working?
It's working
levels
great.
Levels are good? Yeah.
Yeah, Park and I would look at each other like, how the hell?
Yeah.
Like, that's so, I don't know. It's like, we're like, we make people laugh. Me and you make people laugh. John's up there hosting a damn seminar, and we're going, shit.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah. I thought I was good. When I got off stage, I felt pretty good about myself, but John's making me feel like hell right now.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you had that one fan at the end, remember?
I did have one fan. That one guy out of, how many people have been through here? 900 over the weekend? But that one dude really liked me.
I was going to say that I really admired the way you handled the drunk crowd the second show. So
I was worried about that because I thought I was a little rough with them. I tried easy at first. I tried to be
you
funny
did.
At first.
You were nice. You were
I was
like,
making a joke.
You did. This is great, by the way. Every comedian listening to this should approach this way, and you did do this.
Cool.
Where you said, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, should I mic that table?
Yeah.
You know, like you engage, like you make it like you're not yelling at them, but you make them aware that it's a problem, and you're like, please be nice, blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's the reason I took that approach, so that they understand why that it kind of works, usually. These fuckers are out of it.
Yeah.
But it's because the reason people are doing that is they, in their demented minds, think that they're going to get the whole crowd on their side and be the hero to the night.
Stupid.
So when I ask the question, should I put a mic on that table, the rest of the crowd goes, no!
Right.
So they know that's everybody's way of telling you to shut
right,
up.
Yeah.
Right, and
yeah. You get the crowd on your side.
Right.
It's great.
Right.
I do something similar. This works. If it's a crowd talking like that, I'll go like, oh, hey, sorry. I'm like... And they'll stop and look at me like, I go, oh, I'm sorry. Was I being too loud?
That's good.
And I look at them like, don't you hate it when you go to a comedy club and you're just trying to talk to your friends, and then all of a sudden some stupid comedians with the microphone shows up being loud.
That's brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah, and they go, oh, and the crowd's like, ah. I was like, listen, I don't care. I can go over here and talk. You guys, whatever. And then, you know, they'll get the message or they won't. And then round two is why, like, seriously, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's what I had to say eventually. I was like, I said, look, the other way I did it, I was like, there are people around you who bought tickets to enjoy this show.
Right.
And they're hearing you instead of the show. Okay? So think about that. And then I stopped. And then the third time, I was like, hey, seriously, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't know what else to say to
that's
you.
That's the perfect order.
And you know what? And you know what I was thinking, too? I was thinking, I don't want John, because as a feature,
right.
I know that I want the crowd to know how the expectation when the headliner comes up. And I've done it for Jay as well. Whatever's going on, I want them, I'll get into the battle with them so that they either get tossed out or shut the hell up so that you have the best audience you can get.
And I was sitting back there. Parker was with me. I was like, okay, thank God. I was so happy that you did that.
Cool.
And then that was one side. And then the other side was this weird Harley Davidson vest guy. One guy was being loud. And the other guys were like just I couldn't tell in the back of the room that they were that loud. But I know when you're on stage, it's different. The loud table was the one that you addressed first.
Yeah.
And then there was that one guy, the Harley Davidson guy, who was like, you said he probably drives a Ford Fiesta or something.
Yes. Like
right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when Parker was on stage, I went and told the manager. I was like, there's a dude on stage right that's giving Parker shit, and he's loud.
Yeah.
And he's okay, I'll go watch. He came and stood and is with his arms folded, and the dude didn't make a noise all 4 minutes he was standing there. And then the manager walks out, and as soon as he walks out, the guy's like, fucking shit, hell, dumb shit. I was like, oh, God.
Classic.
So then I get up there, and he's doing the same thing. But he wouldn't even make an eye contact. He was, like, staring through the floor. He was hammered.
Yeah.
He was hammered.
Yeah, he was hammered. And then, so you handled it, thank God, and you had a great rest of your set. And then I thought, okay, that's over. And this is not Parker's fault, but the club makes him do it here where you got to do a blowjob
shot
on stage with two people.
It's the worst.
David just nailed it. It's over. We've nipped it in the bud. No more problems. And then here, all right, let's get Randy and Travis up here and do some blowjob shots. I'm like, no. But you handled that great, and it was fine.
It's
that's
still
just
like,
the club does that.
Here. Yeah.
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 I even told you, I was like, this is not your fault. I know you,
right,
this is
your job.
Right,
yeah. I don't want to do this. I was like, let's, after we tell the crowd to be quiet, let's just bring them up here and make them feel like they're part of the show.
Let's get them loud again.
Yeah.
Mixed signals, huh?
Right.
But then that, so when I got up there, you know, it was fine. And then the Harley Davidson side, some point within 10 minutes, he just sort of got up and left.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, good. And I kind of made like a little, I forgot even what I said, a little joke about that. And then, and I thought that was over, right? And then the dude comes back, right? The vested, the main Harley guy, sits back down and gets on the phone. I'm like, you were already outside. Why are you going to come back here and get on the phone?
It's the people he was with called him. Where are you?
Yeah.
I decided I want to see some stand-up comedy. Y'all were being rude.
I can't find my phone. Oh, that was class. And then he finally got it. He left again.
And the big table I was yelling at, by the way, about maybe 8 minutes into your set. Finally, security came over, and I saw him. He leaned down. It's going to be great for your podcast audience that can't see me.
Right.
But he leans down, and he points with both fingers and goes, you got to get the hell out. And he points like, get out.
Yeah.
And I just see the dude go, no. Oh, he just shakes his head no like this. I was like, is he from Hickory? I couldn't tell. I was like, is that a sideways or or ashamed? I couldn't tell.
It's contagious.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not going anywhere. And he points again, and they say they're not going anywhere. So security gets up and walks out. They called the police on those folks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they came back in and said, the cops are here, and you can either walk out and talk to them, or they will come in here and drag you out. So they got up and walked out single file. They were refusing to pay their tab.
Oh.
They were refusing to listen. It was awful.
Now, okay, then you saw this happen out here.
Yeah, yeah. Then they
what
brought
did these? How many people was it?
Four,
what
I think.
Four or five,
yeah.
Like, guys, girls, what's the mix? What's the ratio?
Say like, I think three dudes, two girls.
Really young,
like
college
They're
girl.
Like,
young.
Yeah, like 22.
Entitled.
Yeah, that's exactly what I don't know, man. I was pretty embarrassed. I was like, guys, you're not helping the whole
millennial thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. So, thanks for handling that.
The dude called the door guy the N-word on the way out. Hard R'd it.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
Which one said that?
The guy Harley? In the silk shirt.
Oh, no, the really big dude?
The young dude in the silk shirt.
He had a silk shirt?
He did.
He looked like he grave robbed Michael Jackson. He looked like he grave robbed Michael Jackson. It was like this really sparkly silk.
Very passive aggressive person.
Right, yeah.
Well, you can't dress festive with silk shirts and then be an asshole.
You can't.
That's mixed signals.
It is.
It's weird.
I thought this guy'd be jolly.
Yeah.
Well, on the way into the second show, there was a small Asian lady coming out. And I hadn't even been in the club yet. I was walking in through the karaoke part, you know, and this lady, she was angry, and she was, like, stumbling. She goes, "How do I get out of here?" And I said, "Keep going that way. You're on the right track." And then that's when you were like, "Oh, yeah," that just kind of kicked her out.
Yeah, like, before I finished my first bit, she was out of the room because she was just like, "Ah!" And just, that's Woo! It. That's all she'd do.
Good Lord.
And scream. Yeah.
See, and maybe that's why when I went up and said, "Which one of you tables is going to start shit?" It got a bigger laugh. I didn't expect that big of a laugh. I expected a chuckle. It was a big laugh, and I thought, that's killing. Why is that doing so good?
Was that the first show or second show?
That was the first show. Yeah.
First show. Yeah, that was the very first show.
Well, I'm glad they got that one out there before.
Yeah,
way
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
Man.
All yeah, right. And so fortunately, all that happened, and the last probably half hour of your set was pretty interrupted free.
I think. It was coasting.
And there was even some couples in the back that were talking. It's weird.
Right.
It's almost like you have an amazing crowd or an absolute shit crowd. Yeah. It's hardly ever just.
It's the ones who probably somehow got like a Groupon free ticket situation who have nothing invested in the show.
I just don't understand showing up and then just having a conversation.
I've never got that either. I don't understand it.
I mean,
but they're out there. I think it's just too much alcohol. People pregame too hard and they show up.
That's a good point.
And they forget how loud they are.
And they pour the drinks kind of heavy here.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like.
Typically, that's a good thing, but.
It is. But whenever people are like.
Yeah.
And it's like Friday Late Show, you know? They're already drunk.
Are you from here?
I'm from a small town called Eastland.
Eastland. Do you know where that is?
No, I don't. I grew up in Everman.
Do you know where Abilene is?
Yes.
Okay, so it's about. We don't, 45 minutes outside of Abilene.
John, we don't consider that Texas.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's too far. It's like San Antonio, not Texas.
Not Texas?
No. Abilene, not Texas.
So it's like
Houston, we stop around Houston,
okay,
Austin.
Right.
Austin, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth.
That's it, the three main.
Yeah, El Paso, not Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. It's a gigantic state.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, good Lord, I moved to California and then back. I remember driving on, it's either Interstate 10 or 40. I forgot which one.
40.
I think both of them go through Texas.
I think they
yeah.
do.
I think all roads go through Texas. And I remember driving and hitting Texas, going like, "All right, man, I'm halfway home." 2 days later, I am still in Texas.
Yep. Yeah.
I think you can drive 11 hours and still be in Texas if you go from tip to tip.
Yeah, good Lord. Yeah, it's gigantic. It's
ridiculous.
Everything is 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all is, yeah.
He's got parents here seeing him tonight.
And
you were telling me before we started this podcast that this is the first time that your mom will see you.
This is the first time my mom's going to see my stand-up. And you guys have seen my act, and you know I talk about her in the show.
Yeah.
She has no idea. She has no idea. Part of me, I don't know. I'm excited to do it, but part of me is wondering, like, how's this going to go? I don't know. It's going to be fun. I mean,
it's a different. I remember the first time I did my show when my parents showed up.
Yeah.
It's everything for me. That might be different for you. I was way more nervous. I was way more conscious of every word that I said because they brought their Sunday school class.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Those are their friends. Their friends are the Sunday school. So
well.
They were up there in Raleigh, and here comes like eight of them, and they were late. I was like, "You can't do this back row Baptist stuff at a comedy club. You guys are sitting in the middle of the room. Everyone sees you. I have to talk about you now." I remember it being different and scary and nervous, and then I got over it within the first 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
you forget.
No, I'm not nervous. I'm because also my mom and I have a really good relationship.
Yeah,
and
if what you're saying on stage is true, I cannot wait to meet her.
Yeah, awesome. She's awesome, and I'm telling you, she, you know, we like there's no language barriers with us. She raised me like when I talk about. Being real with my kids and using that kind of language and just being, I'm not clean at all like that. And me and my mom even like cuss around each other all the time. Like there was never, like, of course, when I got older, I did. And so like my mom will just straight up call me a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like 66, 67 years old. I'll walk by her and I'll be staying with her for like 3 days and she'll go, "Hey, you ever gonna take out this trash, bitch?" And I'll be like, "Okay, mama God." And she'll push me and be like, "Oh," like she's gonna fight me or something. I'll just go take out her trash. So our relationship's not a typical, you know, mother son relationship. So her hearing me say terrible things or say she's gonna laugh, probably be shocked that I'm saying it.
Do you think she'll like, not heckle, but like respond to you like, "That's not true," or whatever?
I don't know.
Like, "You watch it, bitch," or like actually play along?
She might a little bit, okay. And you know what I'm really looking forward to the most, what I have the most anticipation about, is after I finish that joke and then I go into the part where she sounds like the guy, Carl from Sling Blade. After I do that impersonation and I finish completely roasting my mom, I'm going to point her out in the crowd and be like, "It's the first time my mom has ever heard that joke live. Give her a hand," or whatever.
Nice.
And I'm looking forward to seeing her. I don't know where she's going to be. I hope I can see her. You only get a few rows that you can see, you know.
What are the odds that Billy Bob Thornton is also here tonight?
Oh, that would be amazing.
And then he stands up. Like, "Oh, it's dead on." You have a great Sling Blade. That's one of my favorite movies. Have you seen Sling Blade?
I have not.
Oh, it's great. It's one of the greatest movies.
You'll
of all
get
time.
Around to it eventually. It's great. Billy Bob Thornton kills it.
It's essentially a movie in that you kind of root for the killer.
Nice.
In a weird way.
He's the good guy.
But he's the guy who killed people. Or killed someone.
In the end, he did. What's the country music singer I'm thinking of?
Dwight Yoakam. Dude.
Did a great job in that movie.
That guy is a phenomenal actor.
He was really good.
Really good.
I remember I saw that movie. I was like, "What the hell? What's Dwight Yoakam in this?"
Me too.
And I like his music. You know, guitars and Cadillacs, hillbilly music. He's got some good songs. But I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I can enjoy this now," because all I'm thinking is like, "Where's Dwight Yoakam?" Yeah. And then I forgot about like in the 5 minutes. I'm like,
"Oh, and then really I was like, "Oh, that's why he wears a hat all the time."
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that too. I was like, "Oh,
male pattern baldness." Yeah. And like my favorite lines is like, "We don't need to practice, Randy. What we need is a paying gig."
Like when and then when that little boy starts throwing shit at him, wham, bam, Dwight Yoakam comes down and like, "Okay, shit, okay, Jesus Christ." Little kid's about to whoop his ass. That's a great movie.
Have you ever met Dwight Yoakam?
No.
I opened up for him one time at a college gig.
Really?
And I was like, "Oh, dude, that's," and this was after Sling Blade. I was like, "I can't wait to tell him how much I love him."
Yeah.
And then there was like no communication. It was like, "Okay, so..." It was like in a big, a college in a gymnasium, right? So, I had one locker room. That's my green room. An entire locker room to myself was my green room. I'm thinking like, "Oh, they'll probably come in here. I'll meet him in the green room. This is the green room." And they go, "Oh, no, he's got the other locker room. You probably won't even get to talk to him." And I remember like, "Oh, that's a bummer," because he's kind of not a dick. He's just antisocial. You know, he's been through this before, I guess. But he did manage to come through the green room. And I was like, I just saw him walk through with the entourage. And I was like, he goes, "Hey, kid." And then just kept walking. That was it. So he wasn't a dick. Yeah. But he had no reason to go out of his way to talk to me. He had a show to do. You know?
Did he know you were the opener?
I'm just the guy that, I don't know. I don't even know if he saw my act, because there was like an intermission after me.
Okay.
So... yeah, I wish I could have a better story about Dwight Yoakam, but I do love his music. I thought that was great. And your impression, it's great.
Thank you, man. I love it. I think Billy Bob Thornton's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
And I watched his, have you ever seen his, what's that thing they do? The, where the guy sits up there and talks to an actor in front of an audience of, what's it called?
James Lipton?
But it's called something, the Actors
Studio. Or something?
Actors Studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did that there. And, James asked him, he said, "Do you ever get asked to just do that impression?" And he goes, "All the time, and I don't do it."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, since you have an audience full of actors, does that change anything?" And he goes,
"Interesting.
I'll do it for you one time."
Oh.
And he goes from just standing, like talking like this, and becomes Carl.
Because he looks instantly totally different.
Dude, it's... James was even asking him, like, "Did you have prosthetics?
Thank
did you.
You
do?" And no. Oh. It's all he says. He puts his jaw out.
Don't you say a crossword about that boy.
You talk funny. I like the way you talk.
I like where you talk. Yeah. Like
that
like
scene
the
right there, the little kid with a crazy accent and him with that weirdo are singing out how much they love the way they talk.
Yeah.
That's such a great scene.
Yeah.
You don't not talk like that. You just a boy.
Yeah, that whole
I love it.
And so when I watched him come into that character, I kept rewinding like on YouTube and watching this over and over, and then just sort of trying to emulate what he was doing.
Man, he's one of the best.
Yeah, he's great.
I loved him in Fargo, the show.
The show.
Yeah,
I didn't watch that.
Wait a second.
Oh, dude, it was great.
The show Fargo.
Yeah, it's on FX.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I'm trying to think. They've had different seasons.
They've had three now.
Yeah, but three different stories.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if I've seen his then.
Yeah, his was season one, but it was pretty good.
Oh, what was the what happened in that one? Do you remember anything about it? No, I gotta watch
it. I want to say.
Oh,
not
wait.
Bilbo Baggins, but
was there a guy that played two different parts, like brothers?
I think so.
The guy who was. Oh God, this is horrible. This is a horrible podcast right now.
Yeah, right. You know,
played,
the guy
Luke Skywalker. No, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the young one. Oh, the British actor. Somebody quick with the phone, Google it. All right, it's fine.
Hey, Siri.
Y'all, at home, here's the thing. We can't let that go because listeners hate that shit. When you don't answer a question. Are you looking it up
right now?
She's
responding. No.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to find?
Ian
McKellen.
Ian McKellen.
There it is.
Now, was he in that season of Fargo?
I don't remember. I have no idea. We have to look that up.
Will you do that real quick?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. So Mama's coming first show.
Mama's coming first
show. Second show, who else?
Second show, my dad's entire family is coming.
Wow.
And my dad just died in June.
Sorry.
And yeah, thank you. And he never got to see me do stand-up.
Oh, man.
And he introduced me to Richard Pryor when I was 7 years old. My dad was a huge fan of stand-up.
Yeah.
And a huge fan of yours, by the way.
That's funny.
And so he would yell at everybody, "That thing got a Hemi." Like, we'd be at a stoplight, and I'd just go, "Dad, that's a Toyota Tacoma. Leave him alone." He just screamed at it. I pulled up on my motorcycle to show him my motorcycle the first time. It was a Honda 750. He walks outside and goes, "That thing got a Hemi."
Oh, my God.
"No, Dad, Dodge doesn't make motorcycles." He would just laugh. "I bet I can outrun you then."
I have met many people like that who, I mean, I've done many things that I'm proud of. I have one last comic standing. I was on Harold and Kumar, Escape Guantanamo Bay, Eastbound and Down, HBO, one of my favorite shows, and I got to be on it.
Right.
But everyone cannot let go of the Hemi thing. It's one thing that will always be, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm just more proud of other things.
Right.
So when I'll go somewhere and someone will go like, "I got a Hemi," I'm like, "Yeah, it's got a Hemi."
Do you get free trucks, though?
No, I didn't get
a free truck. You should fuck with them and answer them in a British accent.
Oh, right. It's like I made the whole thing up. It's a character.
Yes.
I've perfected this redneck accent guy.
Dude, they're going to walk away.
John Rapin, he's from Hickory. I love it.
Dude, just fuck with. You love fucking with people. We heard about that.
Well, I used to kind of do that a little bit. I used to, I made up a fake story that I thought people would want to hear about how I got the commercial. I said,
be interesting.
Yeah,
to
man,
see.
It's crazy. I was just, I lived in Hickory. I used to work at a Home Depot. I was outside selling roasted peanuts. And this guy rolled up and he had a nice, it was an old muscle car. Could have been a Avenger. I made up, so I forgot what I said. Anyway, I was like, "Hey, man, that got a Hemi in it." Like, yeah, because I love them cars. And he goes, "Oh my God, you're going to Hollywood," or something like that. And I go like, and people go, "Ah," I go like, "You guys are stupid. Of course that didn't happen."
No, you told the real story on my podcast.
Yes.
About your audition process.
Yes.
Yeah, you just started vibrating.
I did. I'll do that on stage tonight for your dad's side of the family.
Oh,
if you think they want to see that.
Yeah, tell them. Do tell. They're all fans of yours. They're a huge Dodge family. Everybody in the, they all have Dodge, and they hearing you, especially if you tell them, "I know David's family's here tonight." They'll love that. Junior's not coming though, just so you know.
Junior's not coming.
I told you the guy Junior that was taking care of my dad, and you talked about the JR.
Yeah.
He's not coming. He's the only one, but there's like a whole table of 10 of them going to be there.
What'd you find out?
He's not in it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Not that season.
I don't think he's in it at all.
God damn it, boy. He is in there. What did you look up?
I just typed in Ian McKellen Fargo, and then it wasn't included on the IMDb. So.
Now I got to get to the bottom of this. You guys have a conversation.
What was the name of the character that you're talking about?
I don't know that. Fargo TV series.
My mom used to take me to open mics because I wasn't old enough to get into bars.
How old are you now?
Comedy for? I'm 25.
And you started at how old?
16.
So I didn't know they could let you. So they were letting you into comedy clubs at 16 years old.
Right. Someone actually, like a year in, called Dallas Vice.
Ewan McGregor. That's who I'm thinking of.
McGregor.
Not McKellen, McGregor.
I see.
He played young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's right.
And he is in season...
When you said Ian McKellen, he's like 153 yeah. years old. I was like, what do you mean a young... I didn't want to get in on the business because I haven't seen Fargo, but I know Ian McKellen is like...
Right, I forgot what season it is, but right there it is. That's him. And right there is Billy Bob Thornton.
There it is.
Listen, we're on the same side.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
All right.
I can admit defeat.
We can move forward now. That had to be resolved because I hate when I'm listening to a podcast and something comes up and they never figure it out.
No, you'll get 17 emails about it.
You know this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about you for a minute.
Let's do that.
Oh, you're 25 years old. How long have you been doing the stand-up and the comedy?
So like about 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Did you start here?
Kind of on and off just because I couldn't do it. From Eastland, it's 2 hours to get here.
Got it.
And yeah. But
so you started, let's say, what's 25 minus 8, quick?
No clue.
24, 25, 26.
Can't do it.
No, 25. Hang on, let me do this. 25 minus 10 is 15 plus 2. You started 17.
Yeah.
17.
Like right at it. Yeah.
See how I did that?
Yeah.
All right. So 17, first time on stage where?
At Dallas Hyenas.
Wow. So what brought you to that? Why did you decide I got to get up there?
So I actually watched that movie Funny People.
Yes.
And saw
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Wow.
And saw that was the process. Like, oh, they just sit down and write jokes.
Uh-huh.
It's not like they don't make it all up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of my funniest shit happens off the top of my head.
You go like, oh, I got to keep that for next time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw a comedian repeat the same joke after the second show. I'm all like, what?
The man behind the curtain.
I had no.
Yeah.
You can do that? Yep. That's what I think. Like, well, hell, I could do that.
Speaking of that, real quick, whenever you do double shows in the same night, in the middle of the second set, do you ever start thinking,
Have I
already done that joke?
Yes.
Yes.
And I did that last night. I was getting to my, and I was like, wait, I already did this. And I was like, wait, no, that was the first show.
This is in your head.
On stage, on my head. Yeah, I wasn't saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Shit, did I do this already? No, I was.
Because I've done that.
I was really? I was in my head going, oh, wait. And I was like, wait a minute. I just got up here. There's no way I'm to that bit yet.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I repeated the joke once in the same set.
Nice.
Yeah. Because I felt like I did it early in the set. And then, 20 minutes later, I've had some drinks in me. I'm thinking, and I've started to do it. I was like, wait a minute. As I'm getting to the joke, I saw the train wreck coming. But the buildup was already happening. I was like, did I do this? I don't know. Well, I'm all in. Let's just keep going. And then I got it. I did it again. And I sold it like it was the first time I ever said it. Like it was all physical and everything. And as I'm doing it, I could tell the audience is looking around at each other like, does he know he's already done that? What's he? This is weird.
And then you realize.
And I go like, oh, I did that one already, didn't I? And they go, yeah. I go, okay, good. You're paying attention. That's good.
That's great. Yeah.
Just making sure you're listening. I might do it again in another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was weird. It was bizarre.
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute. Yeah.
So what made you want to get on stage?
Funny People,
the movie.
Right, yeah. I kind of got thrown into it because I had a lytic lesion in my...
A what?
What'd you say?
A lytic lesion. It's like a type of bone cancer.
Oh, shit.
In my
hip. Damn.
What's it called?
A lytic lesion.
A lytic.
Lytic lesion.
Like it can't read.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we were at Cook's Children's Hospital getting like MRIs and stuff done. And we found out that like it's fine, that everything was okay. And I was like, hey, mom, you know that there's an open mic tonight. And she was like, yeah, you don't have cancer. So yeah, we can do whatever you want today.
So in a weird way, you've always wanted to do it.
Always,
you're a fan of comedy.
I started doing magic
funny people.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw what?
I started out doing magic. Little magic shows and shit. Yeah.
Do you know some magic tricks?
I don't have any with me, no.
Shit.
I could probably figure something out, though, before we're done.
You don't have like the close-up magic you could do, like just with like a mind trick or something?
I don't.
No?
No.
Oh, that's my favorite kind.
Man.
So the elytic bone cancer.
Yeah.
What? How did you just one day, like, wow, my hip hurts?
I was in football, and I had torn my hamstring. And while they were looking at that, they found the lytic lesion. Yeah. Like, my bones are kind of hollow.
Oh, you got, like, brittle bones.
You're like a bird. You could fly.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you flap hard enough.
He is a superhero.
That's right.
Dude.
You are. Dude, this all ties into your bit now.
That's hollow bone man.
Yeah.
Hollow Bone Man. I'm lighter than I look.
At Six Flags, when they
one
guess
gust
my weight,
of wind,
they're
I'm
never
out
right.
Of
that's it. He can always win the money at the fairs when they guess his weight.
Yeah,
he has no bone density.
Wait, are you lighter than you look?
I think
there's gotta be something in there.
I think I'm heavier than I look.
What? Right. But your bones are hollow.
I don't know why, but
how that doesn't make any sense.
I'm like 5'11".
Okay, 5'11". Just real quick, just stand up real quick. I want to see how tall I think you. That's 5'11". You're not fat. You're good. That's 5'11". You are 180 pounds.
I'm gonna go one. Oh wait.
Oh.
Was he right?
He nailed it. Yeah.
Oh wow.
180.
Yeah.
Dude.
Damn.
Oh, I should have put.
All right. Do me.
Okay. Yeah. You are 5'9"? 7. No shit, 5'7"? You look taller.
Thank you.
You seem, you come across taller.
Well, you're sitting on a couch.
That's true.
So
physically right now, you are taller than me.
Towering over you at this moment.
Wait, you're, okay, 5'7", you are 169 pounds.
Don't do that thing to me that women do, where they cut off 20.
Well, no,
I'm going to say 190.
No, hell, eat 190.
Better guess.
180.
185.
Okay.
Okay.
I was 212 when I moved to California.
No shit.
I've dropped 27 pounds.
How'd you do that?
26 pounds.
What'd you do?
I just quit eating like shit. I stopped drinking sodas.
Uh-huh.
I work out 3-4 days a week. I follow all John Reap's Instagram posts.
That's right.
Like, well, if a guy from Hickory can get in the gym, damn it, I'm going to do it. And I drink these instead of sodas. I drink water.
Is a soda.
No, it's not, though. There's no sugar, and there's no...
No, but it's soda. It's got carbonated cola, water.
Right, but it's got the... I'm saying I don't drink, like, Coke or Dr. Pepper.
You. And most but people, that's what I hear when they say, I stopped drinking sodas. I'm like, well, you mean sugar. So.
You right. I cut that sugar out. Okay. Because this still gives you that cola bite, like you're drinking soda without the crap that comes with it. And if my excuse used to be, well, I'm on the road a lot doing comedy or on the road doing a tour for my show, then I have to eat Wendy's, I have to eat Whataburger, I have to eat whatever. Yeah, you do. But I'll now get a grilled chicken sandwich and a bottle of water. No fries, no bacon, no Coke. You know, it's little decisions like that. You just got to commit to it and just stick with it. There's no
sense. You're right. It's... for me, it's baby steps like that, too. And the timing is always bad. Like, we like to eat at night, 2 in the morning.
That's when we're done working.
I know. It's like the reward. Yeah, and my reward to myself is I'm going to pig out on some greasy-ass food right now.
And I'll tell you, too, my dad dying unexpectedly of a heart attack because he didn't take good care of himself.
He ate like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All
so you saw the writing on the wall for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, when your dad goes, you're like, well, I'm next. Like, there's literally, I'm next in line, and it just makes the world seem like, okay, maybe I need to get my shit together.
Yeah.
So, that's part of it, too.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yep.
Same here. Yeah. What's your excuse?
Yeah. What the hell are you doing? Fatty?
I'm still eating like trash.
Well, look, at 25, you can eat anything.
Well, that metabolism, he's going all right.
So, you were playing football.
Right.
And you felt something bad in your hip.
That's right.
You said, Mama, let's get this looked at. They said, you got an illiterate lesion.
That's right, an illiterate lesion.
We're going to take this thing out. Or did they take it out?
They didn't take it out. They just
it was
pretty
benign.
Much kept an eye on it.
It's
a
benign...
Yeah, it just kind of ate at my bones for a little while.
And then
it just went away.
It got full.
Oh, shit.
It got full.
It said, I'm done eating you.
Okay. It just ate the insides. It left the outside. That's
because it knew he needed that.
Right.
Yeah. You need a hip bone.
So, okay. Then you thought like, hey, Mom, I've been wanting to do stand-up. Now I got something to talk about. Let me get up there and do it. I saw Funny People where he was dying. And
exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then was that first time at Hyenas?
I went up at 1 in the morning at the end of the list.
Did you have stuff written?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I had a... I talked about how my mom would make me help her in the yard and how she would always change her mind after I finished the job. That was the bit. Yeah.
And, keep it going.
Yeah.
Was she there?
She was there. Yeah. She had to go until I turned 18.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot. There's like Bill Hicks had to sneak into comedy clubs, right?
Yeah.
I want to say it's like Sam Kinison too started.
Right.
I think so too.
Well, he was a preacher's son.
Yeah.
And that's what you are.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. You guys checking the boxes.
Well, yeah, that's great. Well, good luck, man.
Thanks, man.
It seems to be going really well. I like, for those of you, everyone listening, you can't see us, but you know what I look like. You probably know what David looks like.
Google it.
Google it.
Just Google any random Nazi, and that'll be that's about it right there.
Yeah, go watch the American Heroes channel.
Yeah, that's it.
You've got to look, too. you got a joke about the Spider-Man.
That's right.
Yeah.
And your name is actually Parker.
And your name is Parker.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? Yeah, can I tell this part, John?
Yes, please.
So we're in the back of the room the first time you go up, and John and I are back there, and John leans over, and he goes, he kind of looks like if Peter Parker and Clark Kent had a baby.
Yeah.
Right.
You got like this superhero innocent before the suit comes off and you see the cape.
And then I walk to the back of the room, and I'm probably, I mean, you know, John's over on the side, and I'm at the very back, so we can't talk to each other. And then you nail it with that bit talking about Spider-Man, you know, before he got bit. Yeah, me and John just go.
Yeah. We look right across, and it's like,
hey,
like,
we point like,
I was so happy he that you acknowledged it, because I like people who are self-aware, right?
Yeah.
Right? I know I'm a ginger, and I got a tiny mouth and no lips, and I sound like an idiot, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, I
don't
like it when people get up there and they're like, they think they're one thing, and they have no idea what the crowd's thinking.
That's what Hollywood will teach you. Know your know your type. You could go into any audition thinking you're something, and if they don't like see you that way, doesn't matter. Know your type and play it.
Yeah, and you got to have some thick skin.
The first words out of my mouth on stage are, everyone thinks I'm gay. So,
I kept seeing people come up to you when we were all taking pictures going, are you gay? Are you gay? Are you gay? They, and people were fist bumping me going, don't worry, I'm not a Nazi. Because of my whole bump in, bump out joke.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so how's it been going over the last 8 years?
Good.
Are you featured ever, or are you mostly
MCing? I've featured some here, just like every once in a while when they need someone.
Yeah?
But yeah.
What's your job? I mean, but you're not full-time yet, are you?
I work at a hotel. I work front desk.
Where? Yeah. Which one?
The Hilton, the Homewood Suites. Yeah.
Homewood Suites.
Yeah.
I'm a Diamond Club.
Oh, really?
I'm a Hilton member, Diamond level.
I am too. I was Diamond last year.
Are you really?
I'm Silver now. I got bumped down because I didn't travel as much.
You know about the Diamond Desk?
I might.
Anytime you need something done, you can call the Diamond Desk and they'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the front desk.
No. It's a special number.
Like an 800 number.
You have
an 800 number.
Yeah.
Not in the hotel.
It's this one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You have a hotline.
I have it saved in my phone as H Honors. I call it and they go right in.
Yeah.
My number. And then they go, oh, we see here you're Silver. Please hold.
Yeah.
And I go to a robot. I go to a robot. Yeah.
I love it because I'll be checking in sometimes. I'm at a Hilton here this weekend, and you know, I just John Reap or whatever. You know, it might be under Randy, but it might be under Hyenas or whatever. And they're doing stuff, and a lot of times it's associated with the club, like all over the country, or whatever. And they go like, okay, blah 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 blah, and they go like, oh, by the way, I don't know, did they put my Hilton number in there? Because I'm also a member. They go, oh, let me see. Look at it. They go, oh, thank you for your welcome, Mr. Here's your bottle of water right here. You got some free cookies.
Here's some cookies. Your parking spot right up front here.
Yeah. I was like, where was this before?
We'll just move. We'll just tow that handicap van out of the way and let you park right here, sir. Would you like to park in the lobby? I mean, why? Why do they do that to you?
I was like, come on, man. So, I you know, there's a movie. Have you seen? God dang it. It's George Clooney and... he is traveling a lot, and he has to fire people for his job. What is that damn movie?
On it. Here we go.
Anyway, wait, Parker, you got to say goodbye. What time is it?
It's almost time. Almost show time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It starts at 8:30.
It starts at
8 o'clock this time.
Oh, shit.
So, Parker, first of all, thank you.
Thank you
You're a very funny guy.
Me.
You're a nice guy. Nice. Tell people who are listening to this how they can find you.
On Instagram, I'm at Parker Comedy, and on Twitter, I'm at Parker Slavens.
There you go, folks. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good set.
Up in the air.
We'll see. Up in the air. You got to look at that movie. Up in the air.
Up in the air.
George Clooney.
So I'm up in 15?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm 25:30 tonight?
Okay, let's wrap this up. I'll do the up in the air thing, and then we'll move on. Because look at us, Diamond members.
Diamond.
Who would have known?
I was Diamond member
Silver
for
Diamond.
One whole year. I experienced your lap of luxury that one time.
George Clooney has my favorite line in this film, where he's at a hotel, and he's checking in, and there's the lane. There's a special lane for the Diamond Club members or the Hilton owners. There's a lane, and no one's in that lane. But the other regular lane is like squirreled around. You know, it's like there's like 20 people standing there. And Clooney just walks right up to the front desk in the special lane for members. And everyone's looking at him like, oh, really? You're just going to. And they walk over and start waiting. I'm like, really, sir? And he pulls out a pamphlet of the membership and goes like, here, you should join. It's a great program. Membership has its privileges. And I go like, oh, I'm using that. Like, we're getting rewarded for our loyalty.
Yeah,
so membership. I have no shame in my game when I do that
me
stuff.
Either. Me either.
Okay. Dude, hilarious. Fun times. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thanks so much,
man. We have to go do our job.
I'm going to go jump on stage.
We're going to get on stage. I'm going to get pre-gamed. You got family here.
Dude, my mom's out there right
You're
now.
You're psyched. Do you want to set up a camera? Both shows are sold out. We got to get our game face on. So, good to have you. Thank you. How can people find you?
DavidCSmalley.com. David C. Smalley on Twitter. David C. Smalley on Instagram.
There you go, folks. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Good times. Love that place. Y'all need to go. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, check out Hyena's Comedy Club. It's great. It's gigantic. And like I said, they got the karaoke right there. I love me some karaoke. You know this about me. So anyway, thanks again for listening. Don't forget to rate us, review us, subscribe, and share. Rate, review, subscribe, and share. Two R's, two S's. Rate, review, subscribe, and share. Tell a friend, you know. And mostly, I hope you have an amazing weekend. And happy Friday, everybody.
And the radio up, I like to see the sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And no mother's love.